From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, how Texas is emerging as a national leader in exploring psychedelics for therapies, particularly post-traumatic stress disorder, among veterans.
Support for TPR comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp carrier dedicated to handling claims proactively and a commitment to helping injured employees and workers' comp policyholders get back to business. TexasMutual.com/claims.
This is Texas Matters. From Texas Public Radio, I'm David Martin Davies. Right now in Texas, psychedelic drugs are illegal. They are classified as a controlled substance under the Texas Controlled Substances Act, and there are strict penalties for possession, cultivation, or distribution of psilocybin. It's a felony. Unlike some other states, Texas has not decriminalized or legalized psilocybin. However, in Texas, there is increasing interest in exploring the therapeutic potential of psychedelics for mental health conditions like PTSD. In a special Texas Public Radio podcast series, medical reporter Bonnie Petrie and reporter Robin Berghaus explore how Texas is, somewhat ironically, leading the way in therapeutic applications of psychedelics. This is part one of Petri Dish, Psychedelics and the Texas Trip.
As you can imagine, I too was skeptical about this intervention. I didn't do drugs. I didn't associate with those who did. The only connotations I've heard about psychedelics were bad, and so I assume that to be true.
On April 21st, 2021, a committee of the Texas legislature was gathering information on a bill that would fund a clinical trial to study a psychedelic drug as a medication to treat veterans. Marcus Capone was there in support of the bill.
I served 13 years in special operations as a U.S. Navy SEAL, most of my operational time at a place called Naval Special Warfare Development Group, and in civilian circles, you might know it as SEAL Team 6. There, I did multiple combat deployments to both Iraq and Afghanistan. Proud to have served this nation, and there's nothing I would change about my service. What does need to change, however, why we're here today, is access to effective life-saving treatments for addressing invisible wounds that so many of our nation's veterans are facing today.
Invisible wounds. Just as real as the ones that leave scars on your skin, nearly killed Capone, and he wanted lawmakers to know about it. For many years, Marcus struggled to find effective treatments for his traumatic brain injuries, his depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder. He tried antidepressants. He tried talk therapy. He tried hyperbaric oxygen therapy and transcranial magnetic stimulation. He visited several brain clinics. None of it worked. He considered killing himself.
As our life spiraled dangerously out of control, I came to the agonizing realization that the life we were living was not sustainable.
That's Marcus's wife, Amber.
Being faced with choosing between your husband and your children is not something that I would wish on anyone. Yet I knew that leaving Marcus to fight this battle alone seemed certain to end in tragedy.
So she didn't leave him to fight the battle alone. She started seeking alternatives his doctors weren't offering that perhaps they couldn't offer. She connected with other veterans who had also come home from active duty only to find themselves at war with their trauma. And she discovered that some of them had found relief, but they had to leave the country, where they tried a controversial therapy to treat their depression and PTSD, psychedelics. Amber encouraged Marcus to pursue it. He was skeptical. Most psychedelic drugs have been illegal in the U.S. for decades. But when you're in a place where suicide seems like a valid option, you might be willing to try things you wouldn't otherwise try. So he went to Mexico to try psychedelic therapy.
Having tried available options that were offered to me that really didn't work, I can say unequivocally that psychedelic-assisted therapy changed my life forever and why I'm standing here today speaking with you.
What we're doing now just isn't working for too many people. Nearly 50,000 Americans die by suicide every year. And four times more members of the military die by suicide than in combat. Let that sink in. So, are psychedelics a valid option, or is it some kind of scam designed to part desperate people from their money? We will explore how Texas legislators united around the potential of psychedelics to help improve patients' mental health. We'll talk with scientists about available mental health treatments in the U.S. that work for some patients, but definitely not all. We'll learn about the golden age of psychedelic research through the 1960s and why it was blocked for decades. We'll talk with people who used psychedelic therapy to confront trauma. Did it help? Let's get started, shall we? We're at the start of our journey now in Brownsville, Texas. It's the largest city in the Rio Grande Valley along the southern border. In this bicultural community, you won't be at a loss for delicious Mexican food and the beautiful Gulf Coast beaches. SpaceX is here too, about 25 miles from downtown, and it's home for former State Representative Alex Dominguez, a Democrat who served in the Texas House during the 2021 legislative session. Dominguez is the person who created the bill the Capones were fighting for. It was House Bill 1802, and we wanted to know how a buttoned-up lawyer and a lawmaker became an outspoken advocate for psychedelics as medicine. Robin Berghaus is a reporter, and she got a Ferris UC Berkeley Psychedelic Journalism Fellowship, so she went to Brownsville to speak with Dominguez.
I'm heading up to Alex Dominguez's office in Brownsville. It's a brick building, and I'm opening the door.
All right, thank you for joining us, Robin. So tell me about this visit. How did Rep. Dominguez get involved in all of this?
Yeah, Bonnie, he started getting interested in this because he saw people in his community, people he knew and really cared about, just buckle under the weight of depression and PTSD.
I knew a few people that graduated with me who had gone abroad, had been involved in the Iraq War, and it took them a while to adjust. And I started seeing in courts a number of people who were, they were veterans, who had no other crimes that they were committing other than maybe a criminal trespass, typically tied to some type of possession of a controlled substance. Occasionally domestic violence cases, and their spouse would say it's because they have PTSD and they're acting out based on that.
As an attorney, Dominguez worked with several veterans who ran into the law.
One thing that always would kind of gnaw at me is the number of people we had in front of our courts over and over again, seemingly for the same reason. They're struggling with some type of demons and they don't know how to deal with it. So in some ways they prefer to escape reality and just take these drugs. But I realized as a member of the community that if we could improve this segment and maybe remove these members from this category, they would no longer be convicted felons. They could lead hopefully normal and productive lives. And that makes our community better.
That's tough to do in a system that's really designed to be punitive, not really curative.
Well, in Cameron County, where Brownsville is, a veterans treatment court was created.
Affirm that I serve the people of the United States of America. I am a guardian of freedom and the American way of life.
Treatment court connects veterans with mental health care, counseling, and a range of other services.
They really have to want the treatment. And if they get selected to be in the program, they get to meet once a week. And they have almost like a class. They have different speakers, different goals that they have to produce by the next meeting. And of course, stay clean and stay arrest free.
Welcome to the program.
I've covered treatment courts in Bexar County, which is, you know, where San Antonio is in Texas. And they're really great for connecting people with substance use disorders with wraparound services that can help them sort of start to heal and get their lives back on track. But Robin told me that Dominguez quickly determined that they weren't going to be enough.
A common conversation that I would have with defendants, clients, as to why they were either taking drugs or they were no longer taking the prescribed drugs, because you would ask them, do you currently see a doctor? What have they prescribed for you? Almost all of them would say, I don't like the way that drug makes me feel. Or I feel like a zombie when I'm on that drug. I can't do anything. So I'd rather not take that drug and try something else in combination so that I can be productive and do something.
And this is the real problem. As we heard at the beginning of this episode, veterans like Marcus Capone become demoralized. He tried so many things, yet he was plagued by suicidal thoughts. Suicide is a crisis for veterans. In 2022, the most recent year reported, more than 17 veterans died by suicide every day. So, Robin, for a guy like Dominguez, hearing that even with the support of treatment court, veterans were still struggling, that must have been really frustrating.
Yeah, you're right, Bonnie. It was painful. And Dominguez didn't have the answers. But he kept thinking about the questions. And he said one night when he couldn't fall asleep, he was scrolling through his news feed, and that's when he saw news articles about the resurgence of old therapies, MDMA, LSD, psilocybin, ketamine. For many people, these drugs represent the 1960s counterculture. You know, during the Vietnam War, psychedelics were used by hippies, many who followed Timothy Leary's advice to turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
But the articles Dominguez read actually talked about psychedelics as medicine, and so he learned they were being studied as a treatment for people who had depression and PTSD.
And I would typically give a like, which of course brings more of those articles into my threads. But most of the articles that I was seeing pop up more and more were actually from respected science journals, typically outside of this country. So it seemed that in the UK, in Israel, Australia, and New Zealand, they were heavily researching the use of psychedelics. So that caused me to research a little bit as to why this country went the way that it did. And when we see that history, we see that, you know, the tune out movement really ran into a wall with our government.
Dominguez is referring to the Nixon-era Controlled Substances Act. After it was passed, most psychedelics became illegal, which hindered research for decades.
And I thought, well, what would it take for Texas to study some of these psychedelics? And if the results are positive, submit them to the FDA.
Well, it would take a law for the state to fund Texas researchers to study psychedelics as medicine. So in 2021, Dominguez and his staff wrote one, House Bill 1802. The first draft of the bill broadly mentioned a study on psychedelic therapies, but the legislation that was ultimately voted on included a clinical trial to study the effects of psilocybin for veterans with PTSD. So what is psilocybin? Well, it is the psychoactive compound found in psilocybin mushrooms, also called magic mushrooms. Now, I have never tried a shroom, but I definitely heard about them back in high school and in college, and folks were not talking about using them to treat their depression. So it seemed that in a state known to be tough on drugs, this bill was going to be a tough sell. They'd need to make deals and enlist allies. But partisan politics being what they are, could they?
One day, when Representative Alex Dominguez was sitting in his office, he got an unexpected call from former Governor Rick Perry.
And I still don't believe it's real. I call my staff and I tell them, well, reserve this time in the office. We're going to be having a Zoom meeting. And I think Logan was in charge of setting it up.
Logan Davidson was Dominguez's legislative director back in 2021.
When we first got the call, it was actually from his former chief of staff who reached out and said, you know, Governor Perry is aware of one of your bills. He'd like to talk to you about it. And then we got on the phone and I actually remember Alex kind of interrupting him and saying, I'm really, really sorry. I just want to make sure we're talking about the same piece of legislation. We were convinced he was calling us about a different bill because there's no way that the former governor and Secretary of Energy in a Republican administration wants to talk to us about our little psychedelic bill. He was probably the premier anti-drug governor in the entire country.
So as he starts talking to me, and I'm realizing he's talking about 1802.
And so when we connected with him and got past the initial surprise that anti-drug Rick Perry was now pro-psychedelic therapy Rick Perry, and he had a strong scientific understanding, a very strong political understanding of what it was going to take to pass this legislation.
So how did Perry hear about their little psychedelic bill, and how did he end up on board?
I'm the dark, knuckle-dragging, right-wing, Republican former governor of the state of Texas. And some of you are out there going, what in the hell is that dude doing on this stage? Talking about me.
Turns out Rick Perry is a bit of a mover and a shaker in those circles. That's him right there giving a keynote speech at the 2023 Psychedelic Science Conference, which draws thousands of people who discuss the medical, legal, business, and cultural issues of psychedelics. Who knew? Robin met up with Perry in Austin to get the story. So, Robin, tell me about your conversation.
Perry told me that he never would have thought about psychedelics as a potential medicine. He grew up in a rural town, attended a conservative university, and had been in the military. Drugs were just a non-starter for him. And it was actually a chance encounter that changed his mind. Back in 2006, he was on vacation with his wife, Anita. They were on Coronado Island, which is near San Diego, and someone offered them a private tour of the Naval Special Warfare Center.
I would whole lot rather go through this Special Warfare Center than go sit on the beach. So we called, made arrangements, and there was a three-hour tour. Incredibly interesting tour.
Leading the Perry's tour were two Navy servicemen, Jake Elzey and Marcus Luttrell.
Jake Elzey, who today people will recognize as a United States congressman from Texas, he said, oh, did Marcus here tell you where he was last weekend? He said, well, he was at the White House receiving the Navy Cross. And I know what the Navy Cross is, that importance. And so we offered to buy them dinner for their time and effort. And I went back to the hotel and looked up this kid on the computer. And he doesn't show up anywhere, which I found interesting. I recall them saying the name of an operation, Operation Red Wings. And I put that in my computer. It blew up. And I put the pieces of this together.
We're going to stay in Afghanistan and look now at a 2005 Navy SEAL mission in a remote part of that country. The aim of the mission was to capture or kill a leading Taliban member. But the team was ambushed by dozens of Taliban fighters.
The four Navy SEALs were outnumbered. Luttrell was shot and suffered a broken back. And at the end of the battle, he was the lone survivor. He wrote a book about his experiences, and it was adapted into a movie.
That evening, we had dinner. We queried him a little bit more about this, and he was still very raw, physically and mentally, but he was going to be deployed again with SEAL Team 5. We got a little bit of taste of this extraordinary story that this young man and the trauma, physical, mental, that he had gone through. I said, you know, give me your mom's phone number. I'll call her when we come back to Austin. And oh, by the way, if you're ever through Austin, come by and see us. Realizing that's a nice thing to say, but nobody's going to come knock on the front door of the governor's mansion.
But about a year later, he did knock on Perry's door. When he showed up, he was sick and addicted to painkillers. Governor Perry and his wife Anita took him in, and they served as his surrogate parents for more than 2 years.
He would never sleep with the lights off. He always wanted the TV on. He would wake up in the night in the sweats. Terrible nightmares. I mean, pretty classic post-traumatic stress symptoms. He had serious physical issues. His spine was injured severely. Our government had really failed him, not only with their lack of making available the health care that he needed, but the health care that he did get with the, you know, sacks of opioids that he was addicted to. So we were dealing with all of that.
The Perrys helped Luttrell access quality medical care, including a complex spine surgery and treatments for his opioid addiction. And over time, Luttrell's physical pain abated, but his PTSD symptoms remained, and he wasn't cured of his addiction. About a decade later, in 2017, Perry was sworn in as U.S. Secretary of Energy, and he invited Marcus's twin brother, Morgan Luttrell, to join him in Washington, D.C. Morgan put his neuroscience program on hold to support a government project using supercomputers to study traumatic brain injuries.
He goes with me up there, and during some of our conversations, I pick up that there are special operators going down to Mexico to be treated with this plant medicine. And I'm like, you need to be really careful with that. That sounds a little bit out there for me. But I was curious. And so I would ask him about it and talk about it. And it started me down this path of educating myself about plant medicine, in this case, ibogaine.
So what is ibogaine?
Ibogaine is derived from the iboga shrub native to Central West Africa. And for centuries, this psychedelic drug has been used for healing and spiritual purposes as part of the Bwiti tradition in Gabon. Today, waves of people, including the Luttrell brothers and Marcus Capone, have traveled to clinics in Mexico for ibogaine therapy to treat their depression, PTSD, and addictions. But ibogaine's a powerful drug. Along with potential benefits, there are health risks, including cardiac arrest. So people seeking ibogaine therapy have been cautioned to find a reputable clinic with a medical team that's trained to administer it.
So all of this I'm studying and paying attention to and intrigued that these warfighters would go and do that. And that's when I became convinced that this is something we need to pay attention to. People like Marcus Luttrell, who will tell you, saved my life. Today, is healthy, both spiritually, physically, mentally. He is the Marcus Luttrell that I'm sure left in 2000 to go join the Navy and serve his country. He is healed in every way that you can be, thanks to ibogaine.
So Perry started to dig in. He was looking into the science and the history of psychedelics, and he realized there was a long way to go for them to be FDA approved, so Americans would no longer have to leave the country to access them legally. And that's what inspired him to advocate for clinical studies and to support the movement.
And according to Dominguez's legislative director, Logan Davidson, Perry was key to the success of House Bill 1802.
And so when we ran into any sort of roadblocks with the bill, Governor Perry was able to kind of make those phone calls for us, have those meetings. It does make it easy for a Republican to sign on to a Democrat's bill when one of the most prominent Republicans from your state, a national leader in the party, is kind of putting his stamp of approval on it.
Dominguez's staff built a large slate of authors and sponsors, including the chairs of each of the committees that their bill was assigned to. And the bill passed almost unanimously in the House. Then it was sent to the Senate, where Bob Hall, one of the most conservative senators there, spoke up for it.
I had an uncle that came back from World War II after being a POW. They just said he brought the war home with him, couldn't turn loose of it. Had a sister, spent a year on a MASH unit in the front lines in Vietnam. It took her until about 8 years ago to even be able to talk about what she was doing over there. And I saw that what progressed was the pill bottle got bigger, and that was no solution. And so I'm very happy to see that we're trying to find a real solution for a real problem.
HB 1802 passed in both the House and the Senate. Now it was all up to Governor Perry's successor, Governor Greg Abbott. Abbott could veto the bill, killing it. He could sign the bill, making it law, or he could just do nothing. And it would still become law. It just wouldn't have his signature on it. Abbott chose door number three.
It was significant that the governor allowed it to become law when he could have vetoed it. It was at that point that those relationships became key in making sure that we did not end up getting a veto.
I still can't believe we passed this bill. To this day, I smile every time I think about this bill.
Marcus and Amber Capone are doing much better these days, and this experience has been life-changing. So much so that they founded VETS, Veterans Exploring Treatment Solutions. Since 2019, their nonprofit has helped nearly 1,000 veterans access psychedelic therapies in countries where these treatments are legal or unregulated. Dominguez says this bill, this law, and the research that it unlocked represents renewed hope for people who are experiencing depression, anxiety, complex trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, and other psychiatric conditions.
I think that's something that's going to be really affecting lots of families, not just those who are in the military. When you think of firefighters who are dealing with the fires in LA, who haven't slept in days, when you think of law enforcement who every day are trying to rescue people, when you think of victims of sexual assault or car accidents where they receive brain trauma, these are all people in your everyday lives that can easily be affected by PTSD, every single one of them. And we need to be prepared to deal with that. If the two drugs that we have right now are not working for a segment of the population, we need to find alternatives, whether it's other drugs or other treatments.
House Bill 1802 was a landmark. Texas was the first state in the U.S. to fund a clinical trial to study psychedelic therapies. The trial is currently underway at Baylor College of Medicine and the Menninger Clinic. Veterans began enrolling this year to try psilocybin for their PTSD. And according to Dr. Lynette Averill, it's not a moment too soon.
That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. Special thanks to Bonnie Petrie and Robin Berghaus for their reporting, and to TPR News Director Dan Katz. You can hear the entire series, Petri Dish, Psychedelics, and the Texas Trip, on our website, tpr.org. Email us at texasmatters@tpr.org, and you can find Texas Matters wherever you get cool podcasts. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.